Welcome to the Prepping for Success podcast, where I interview successful people in their respective industries and give you the tools that you need to succeed. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to Prepping for Success podcast. Today I have here with me my guest, Jared Wesley. So for those of you who don't know Jared, Jared's actually my partner at Live Traders, and he is a professional trader in the stock market and has been for 11 years. But there's a lot of other things that Jared is involved with that you guys probably do not know about. So I'm excited to chat with you today, Jared.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So definitely, definitely. So tell our listeners a little bit more about you and how you got started. What do you do? Just a little bit rundown for those who haven't or not are familiar with your work.
Okay, sure. As you said, I've actually been trading now 11, going on 13 years as a trader. But before that, before Live Traders and before that, I actually worked on Wall Street for a period of time as a buy side institutional trader. And that's kind of what parlayed me into the trading that we do now, as well as some of my other real estate ventures. I'm big into industrial real estate. So I really I have a lot of long-term investments, trading, swing trading, core trading, and then as well as the real estate. So that's kind of mainly a little bit about me. And I got into it just because I was honestly in high school and college just interested in money. Like I knew I'd be a business person, and Wall Street was the best place I could think of to make money.
Right. And so did you get into trading first and real estate after, or was it real estate before trading?
Well, there's two ways to look at that. Meaning I got a job before I got into real estate, because you need money to get into real estate, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I worked on Wall Street and did that. And I mean, honestly, there's a lot of money to be made. There's so many different angles, so many different paths. But I did actually buy my very first condo at 24 years old, and I flipped a pretty good, maybe 50 or 60% profit on that in a year. So that was my first taste of real estate, but that's nothing like what I do now. That was residential. I do industrial now, just like when I traded on Wall Street. It sounds the same, trading. They're totally different. So it's kind of interesting, because I started out as a buy-side institutional trader, but now I'm an intraday trader, swing trader. I started out buying one residential condo. Now I have industrial property. So same industries, but just different areas of those industries.
Right. And was trading like a career path that you were working towards? Like, did you take courses, or was that something that you were working towards in college to get a job at Wall Street? Or was it that last minute you say, you know what, money's there, so Wall Street might be a nice thing to do?
No, I always knew that, I didn't say always, but probably my last 2 or 3 years in college, I always knew that I wanted to work in New York in finance. It's just a matter of, what was it going to be? Was it going to be investment banking? Was it going to be hedge fund? Was it going to be a bond trader, an institutional trader? There's just so many avenues, so many angles. I mean, these companies make money from so many different areas and places. I had a couple friends. One was a bond trader, and another guy was an analyst, and the analyst has since become a hedge fund manager. So anyway, I had a little bit of advice from those guys about where to go. And a lot of people get into investment banking, for example, because the money's so great, but man, you got to bring your pillow to work for that stuff. I mean, 80 hours a week is like, that's a half a week. I mean, these guys really work their tail off, and I thought, you know, there's good money, but I want to find more balance. And that's what drove me kind of the institutional side of trading, which ironically enough, 17 years later, is really gone from the markets, you know, because of HFTs and things of that nature. That industry is really small compared to when I was in it.
Right. So was there any experience that you learned, or something that you learned at Wall Street that translated into your success today? Like, was that like some learning lesson that you picked up? Because, you know, for me, like when I was in college, you know, I wanted to get a job at Wall Street. Like, that's what I wanted to do. You know, wear a suit and had a nice thing. Obviously, I didn't get a job anywhere. But was there something that you learned that translates into your life today?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's not going to be the answer people think. The biggest thing I learned on Wall Street, and I'm not knocking Goldman Sachs or Merrill Lynch or any of these companies. I have a lot of respect for them. I learned that most people even on Wall Street, really don't know what they're doing. And that sounds crazy to you guys. You're like, wait a second, he graduated, you know, from Penn Wharton School of Business. Of course he knows. I'm not saying they're not smart people. It's just because their job title is XYZ institutional trader doesn't mean they understand how the market works. And I thought, is there a way I can exploit this? And that's what drove me to trading, right? The other thing that I learned is that there's supposed to be a Chinese wall between every department in a financial institution. There is not. Investment banking houses talk to trading desks all the time, and that's not legally allowed, but they do. So knowing these things helped me be a better trader because I understood that, one, there's manipulation of the market. And if you don't get that, you're going to have a short career as a trader. And you have to also learn that sometimes it just is what it is. They have billions of dollars. You don't. Sometimes you have to play their game, basically ride the tail of the whale instead of getting in front of the shark, so to speak. So, yeah, that was one of the biggest things I learned is that these people are no different than a lot of average people. They just have a really snazzy job title and they wear $3,000 Armani suits. But it was a great experience. I got a lot of connections there. That's one benefit I really got on Wall Street. I know a lot of hedge fund managers now, a lot of analysts now, but that all came from those days. So there is what to call a lot of nepotism on Wall Street. Hire your brother, hire somebody who went to the same university as you. That happens all the time in that business.
Right. And when you quit your job, were you already trading or did you take a leap of faith and just be like, you know what, I'm going to go and figure this trading thing out?
You know, oddly enough, I had actually opened up an E-Trade account in the 90s when I was still in college. So, yeah, technically I had already tiptoed my way into trading where I would buy a stock. And the first stock I ever bought was GD, Guidant. I actually still remember. I don't even know if they're in business anymore. I made $403 on that trade. The very first stock I ever bought in my life. But that was more holding for a few days, a week. And I mean, now we'll take five trades in a day. That was maybe I take five trades in a month. So I was doing a little bit of that. And then I thought, oh, well, the ultimate would be to go to Wall Street. And then your job title is institutional buy side trader. What? And I was so excited for this. And then I got into it and I'm like, this is nothing like what I thought it was going to be. Money is good, but the job itself is actually quite boring.
Right. And then how did you get the confidence to, you know, quit like a safe, secure job where you have an income and like you're getting a paycheck, you know, you can predict your expenses and everything to something like trading where like you literally have no control over what you're really going to do or predict as far as what you're going to make?
The honest answer to that question is hype. I mean, I don't want to say I was sold a false bill of goods, but I definitely had, you know, a chip on my shoulder like many traders do when they come in. I'm like, oh, I'm coming from Wall Street. I went to a good college, blah, 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 blah. This should be no sweat for me. I have a huge edge on everybody else that's coming into this. So that ego actually took the fear out, honestly. And that's not a good thing. I'm trying to get that across to folks. That's not good. It's good to come into this business with a little bit of fear. You're cautious. You have a real business plan, trading plan. I was basically like the guy that passed the store on the corner and go, wow, that's a neat location. And the next day I go in and buy the whole store. And say, hey, I want to own a flower shop. I don't know anything about flowers. Well, I just thought trading is trading is trading. So I'll come, you know, I'll get to this quickly. You know, for those folks that don't know, I actually went back to work after my first year of trading for about a year, and then I quit for good. So I started trading. I had saved up some money. I'm a young guy in my 20s, blah, 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 blah. And after about a year, I'm like, you're just dwindling down your savings. I wasn't losing money as a trader. I was just breaking even all the time. But my savings account was dwindling. So I went back to work for a year. And then I went back to trading full time. So during that year, I learned more about myself, swing trading, core trading. And then when I finally went back for good, I've never looked back since. And that was, 11 years ago now.
All right. So the year that you went back, but you were still studying trading or still being involved so that you were ready when you were ready to quit?
I wanted nothing more than to leave. I didn't want to go back in the first place. And so that year to me was a major wake-up call. Like, hey, if you don't take this shit seriously, you're going to be doing this for a very long time. And it wasn't the money. The money was always going to be there on Wall Street. It was more about, do you want your boss telling you when to come and when to go? Do you want to be working weekends sometimes? I mean, do you want to basically be a slave to your job till you're 45 and then you can finally start calling your own shots? And the answer was no. So that second year that I got into trading, the first year humbled me. The second year motivated me. And that's probably the best way to put it. The first year humbled the shit out of me. The second year, just pure focus and motivation. And I never looked back since.
That's awesome. And as far as, like, you know, switching gears now from trading, you know, I know you're involved in real estate. You mentioned industrial real estate, commercial real estate. So was that because you had trading profits and you were looking to reinvest? Or was that like something you already had planned or an opportunity that came present itself?
A little bit of both. You know, from a young age, my parents, grandparents, family members have always told me, hey, get yourself some real estate and diversify. Don't just put all your money in the market. Don't just put it all in a 401k or into real estate. Diversify. And a good way to do that is to own real estate. So my initial experience with real estate was good. I had bought a condo and I had sold it for about a 50 to 60% profit. So that was a positive experience for me. I lived in it for a short time. I rented it for a while and then sold it. And I thought, you know, I can do this, but I don't want to be a residential landlord. I want to do something bigger. So as you probably heard the expression, you know, the rich get richer. Well, the reason the rich get richer is because they have money when nobody else does. Okay. So back and during the financial crisis, 07, 08, 09, I had just thankfully gotten to the point in my trading where profitability was coming in pretty good. My wife was still working. So this was a fantastic position for me, meaning 09, 10, real estate was dirt cheap and nobody had any money. So the deals, you didn't need to be a rocket scientist to find a deal. You just needed money to find a deal. Well, thankfully for me, I had three to four years of profitability and I had saved a lot of that money. And as you've seen before, I've taken $2,000 and turned it into $50, $2,000 and turned it into $100. The reason I'm commenting on that is simply, I didn't need a lot of money to make a lot of money. If you give me a $10,000 trading account, I could make 200 grand all day long. So if I had saved 200,000, I only needed 10 or 20 of it. I could go take the rest of the money as a down payment on $1 million, $500,000 property. And that's what got me into real estate in the big picture. I had one of my brothers come in with me and we bought $1.5 million property. And it could have been commercial. It just ended up being industrial because the deal was so good. So that's how I got started in that. And then once I had my first taste of industrial real estate and it was such a good experience, we just kept leveraging our positions. And, you know, 2010 to now, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to make double or triple your return. So we just kept every time the property, you know, would go up in value, we'd borrow against it, buy another property. So we turned one into seven. Now I'm down to five because I recently sold two, but I turned one into seven. And these are not small properties for the people listening. I mean, we're talking the most valuable property I own is just a shade under $10 million. And the rest are between $2 and $10 million. We own seven of them. So we have a pretty good sized portfolio of real estate that we're just going to keep growing and growing and growing. So that's how I got into that. But the truth is, if it wasn't for trading, I would have never been in the financial position to buy those properties. So I attribute a large percentage of my success to trading because I directly took my trading profits and put it in that. Now, some other people may have said, well, go take the 200. And if you can make 200 grand from 10 grand, maybe you can make a million from 200. Maybe so. But now I'm diverse. So now I have market money and I have real estate money and I have long-term investment money too, you know, so it's all come together. And I have to admit, the timing worked out for me. I mean, it really did. I mean, we bought these properties pennies on the dollar. Banks were giving stuff away, you know, so it's really worked out nice.
Right. So for, you know, like a lot of people might be thinking like, why real estate? Why not put the money in, you know, the market, like leverage, compound your returns, add money into the market, or why not do forex trading? Why not do swing trading? But like, why real estate? Why not a franchise or why not a, you know, business? So what made you choose real estate as your diversification vehicle?
Well, again, everything in life, I think, is dependent on what you want. What is your expectation for it? So for example, let's say I bought a franchise. Okay. Let's say I went out and bought a Meineke. Okay. I would have to be there. right? Mm. I would have to manage it. I would have to have somebody manage it. And it's a physically present job.
Right.
Industrial real estate, for those that are less familiar, is a lot of, for example, warehouses. Okay. Well, a company comes in, like one of my tenants is FedEx. Okay. FedEx. Well, everybody knows what FedEx does. Guess what? They do it. I do nothing. Nothing. Right. They rent my property, lease my property. They lease my building. They bring their trucks in, their service in. They fix the trucks when they break. They fix the property when it breaks. I just get a check every month. We sign a 6-year lease, and I just keep getting checks. Now, imagine if I did residential real estate. Well, if the toilet clogs up, they might call me, and I have to go out and fix it or pay somebody to fix it. That does not happen in commercial industrial leases, very rarely anyway. Right. So if I did the Meineke thing, I would be, or if I did a Chick-fil-A thing, or if I did whatever, great businesses. There's nothing wrong with those businesses, nothing. Okay.
Right.
But I'd have to be physically present to do those things. Whereas in real estate, I could still trade and still scout for real estate and just check up on the properties from time to time. And that's one of the reasons that I chose that path.
Right. So why not the market? Like, why not putting it all in the market rather than, because market's also passive, right? You're going to collect dividend. You might have your compounding return. So what was the differentiating factor there?
The answer is I do. I have a pretty healthy investment portfolio. I have. Now, I went from trading to industrial real estate to buying more industrial real estate to taking some of that money and putting it into the stock market as well. And the returns, anybody that's been in the market the last 8 or 9 years, the returns have been just phenomenal. So I still do. I still do that. For example, I just told you earlier, I had 7 properties we sold to. Well, that money's in the stock market right now waiting for the next investment. And great opportunities don't just pop out of the sky. Sometimes they take a year or two to find.
Right.
So that money's, made, I think, 17% last year. I mean, I didn't quite get the market, but that's just sitting there waiting to make more money. You know what I mean? In a different investment. So I do. I have my intraday trading. I have my real estate businesses. I have my long-term stock market stuff. And I do have a little bit of other private equity things that I'm invested in as well.
Okay. And, before this, you had touched upon saving, that you were saving money from your trading and then, putting it into real estate. So what was that, what's the formula, a good formula for people to learn how to save? Because if you're making a living from trading, then, you got to pay your bills, you got to live off the trading. So how much do you live off and how much do you save?
The first answer to that is live on less, meaning the American way is to spend more than you make, no matter who you are. I don't care if you're a Wall Street guy or just a mom and pop guy. Everybody spends more than they make for some reason in this country, and it's utterly insane. They want to know why the one percenters are the one percenters. It's because they're the only people that know how to save money. It's not a matter of whether you make 50 grand a year or 500 grand a year. You could save money at 50 grand a year, and you could be broke at 500 grand a year. It all just depends on your approach. Your attitude, you see these Dave Ramsey type people out there, et cetera. They actually, there's a lot of truth in what they say. The fact of the matter on all is that most people are riddled in credit card debt, mortgage debt, car debt, all kinds of silly stuff. They go to Starbucks and spend $5 a day. Well, you need to be disciplined first and foremost. So when I tell people in trading, especially in the beginning, it's a roller coaster ride. One month you're going to make 20 grand, and next month you're going to make two. Well, how do you reconcile that, right? You have to be smart with your money, save for a rainy day. And if you say, my projection is just hypothetical to make 100 grand this year, set your goal at 75 to live and 25 to save. I'm a big believer in saving 20 to 25% of all of your income, no matter how much money you make. Now, obviously, that becomes easier the more money you make. And if you're making 30 grand a year and you have a wife and kids, saving 20%, 25% is hard, right? But it can be done. I don't want to hear excuses from people out there. I mean, there was a time when I was doing well, and my wife and I lived in a one-bedroom apartment with our daughter. Okay, her crib was literally at the end of our bed. She didn't have her own bedroom. And this is when I was making 6 figures. Why? Well, because I was saving money for other investments. I saw the bigger picture. Everybody wants the now, 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 now. They all see Facebook. They want to be Mark Zuckerberg overnight. That shit doesn't happen. It's not real. Okay. I was shocked to find out the other day the average American spends $230 a year on lottery tickets. I've never bought one.
Right.
They're all hoping to get rich quick. If that's your goal in life, you're going to be poor forever, basically.
Right.
Work hard, give it time, live below your means, sacrifice now so you can do what other people can't do later. I'm 40 years old. 100% chance. 100% chance I'll be retired at 50. I could retire today. I'm just not at my goal yet. The question is, where are you at 30, 40, 50 years old? The average American has less than $50,000 saved by the time they're 50. Why? Because they don't know how to save and they don't work hard enough. Get a second job if you have to. So I take that trading. I said, hey, you know, as you know, you build up. You don't make 100, 200, 300 grand your first year, right? It takes a while to build to that point. So while you're building, just realize I need to save some of this along the way. And I did that. And I was able, thankfully, again, my wife worked at the time as well for a period of time there. And I was able to save a lot of that money and parlay it into other investments. And I just think that's an area. Get rich quick, and lack of savings is why most people aren't successful.
Right. So you mentioned that you're not at your goal quite yet. What's the goal? What's the end goal for Jerry Wesley?
I don't want to put an exact dollar figure on it, but it's a healthy goal. It's the kind of what I like to call, if your listeners don't mind the language, is fuck you money. Okay. And I'm close to where I don't care what the world does or what the world says. I can just flip my finger up and just, even at 40 or 45 or 50, because, you know, nowadays people are living until 90 or 100 years old. I'm going to need to live off this money for 50 years. Well, I'm going to have plenty of money to do that, whether I make a penny or not afterwards. It's definitely a healthy number. Let's put it that way. Ultra high net worth. And I'm very close to being there now. It's just, even then, the truth is, on law, I said, oh, I'll definitely be retired at 50. I should rephrase that. I will have the option to retire. I may or may not retire. I'll probably hold real estate the rest of my life. I may manage properties. You and I do a lot of business together. For your listeners out there who don't know as much about you, I mean, this guy is young gun, super successful. I love doing business with Unmol because he's so hungry, so motivated. It's rare for me. I'm 40. I'm still young in the big picture of wealthy people. This guy's 25, and I've never seen a kid more motivated. So when I see that, I latch on. Why? Because everybody wins, man. I'm saying this because you need to have that hunger. I don't mean you, Unmol, but your listeners. They need to have that hunger if they want real money. And you've seen this yourself. Everybody talks about being rich, but nobody wants to do the work. Okay. Right. They only see tomorrow. They don't see 5 or 10 years down the road. Well, guess what? What you set in motion today will pay you in 5 or 10 years. If you don't set it in motion, it'll never pay you. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to grind it. But you'll be happy you did. It's the people that don't see the big picture. You know what I liken it to? It's like when you're going into an empty house and people can't see what the house could look like with furniture and paint. You have to decorate it for them. That's why they stage houses, because people don't have vision. You have vision. I have vision. This is why when you're my age, you're going to have more money than I do. Okay. And I do pretty well for myself. Yes. Deeply into the 1%, 0.5% range. Okay.
Right.
You're going to be ahead of me at this age because you were smarter than I was at your age. You know what I mean? I didn't get super serious till I was probably 30. That's when I got like really serious about making money. You're already doing that in your early 20s. It's impressive.
So, you know, there's some great points there. I mean, I think the listeners got a ton of value just from that last topic that we covered. But, you know, I'm just curious, what's your why? Like, why all this? Why all this money? Like, sometimes don't you feel like just getting away? Like, for me, like, I work. You know, some periods are awesome. You know, I just want to go to the next level. And then some periods I'm like, you know what? It would be just nice to, you know, go to like Colorado or to travel somewhere or Amsterdam or just move there and live that lifestyle. Like, what's the why that keeps you like pushing for that next level?
I can see you in Amsterdam. you know, honestly, this is hard for people to believe. And I never believed it myself until it happened to me. Okay. I know several, but one person in particular who's immensely successful. The guy could probably put a B in front of his net worth. Okay. And I looked at him and said, man, why do you do it? And he said, it's not work. I genuinely, truly love this. Like the way you like to go play tennis or the way you like to, I don't know, go eat a steak at Ruth's Chris. I love this stuff. It's not work to me. I enjoy it. And I truly enjoy this. But here's the other thing. It's different when you're the boss. See, you call the shot and you say, you know what? I do need a break. I'm taking 3 weeks off. You know this. I'm in Japan 6 weeks every summer. Every year, 6 weeks. I'm in Florida 4 weeks. Yeah. Do I work during while I'm there? Yeah. But it's a change of pace, a change of scenery. I need to travel not just for business, but for my sanity. See, that's right. The difference, Armand. This is why I'm blown away by more people, why they don't work harder. They sit in a damn cubicle and they clock in and they clock out. They clock in at 9, they leave at 5. And guess what? You're relying on somebody else telling you when you're allowed to come and go. Nobody tells me when I'm allowed to come and go. I just say, I need a break. I'll see you in a week. That's the difference between being a boss and being an employee. Now, being an employee is not for everybody. You have to be self-motivated. But back to your point, the why, I want my kids to have a good life. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say these things. I don't want my children walking through metal detectors to go to middle school.
Okay? Right.
They're not going to those schools. Okay. Now, some people may not like that, but that's just the God's honest truth. I want my kids to go to good schools. I want them to be who they want to be. And I want to give them the best opportunity to do that. And if I enjoy what I do on top of it, and I can provide for them, my wife, I mean, we just got a new car. I got a new car. I mean, these are the things you get to do when you start making good money. See, in the saving stage, you got to count your pennies. And that's okay. That's fine. But after you get kind of halfway up the mountain or close to the top of the mountain, the freedom and flexibility just starts to open up. And that's why I do it, because I want to call my own shots in life. I like to travel. I like to do things. I like to have money when somebody comes to me with an idea, a great idea. Go, wow, that's an awesome idea. Let's do it. Sure, let's go do it. Okay?
Right.
So the why for me is easy. One, I love it. Okay? And two, my family is just that important to me. I don't understand why more people don't take that more seriously. You know, put your kids in a great position to succeed, you know?
Awesome. Great advice there. And, you know, tell the listeners a little bit about like one piece of your life or one part of your life where you had that struggle, right? Like you struggled a little bit, or that moment where you felt like, you know, nothing's going right, or maybe this is not worth it. And then what was that moment? And then how did you handle yourself and how did you overcome those emotions?
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people like to say, oh, you're so lucky, you're so lucky, you're so lucky. And I agree with that in a lot of ways. I was born in the United States. That in and of itself is lucky, in my opinion. I was born in a good family. My parents were very nice to me. They didn't beat me. You know, that kind of stuff. I was very lucky. I mean, not everybody is born into that. So everybody has a different path in life. But outside of that, you know, condition you're born into, everybody's got to work for it in this world. It doesn't come easy to anybody, in my opinion. Even people like, you know, I don't want to get off on a political tangent. People, oh, well, Donald Trump, his dad gave him $5 million. Well, that's true. How many people do you know that were given $5 million and turned it into $5 billion? I don't know any. I don't know anybody. Okay. I mean, I have more than $5 million to my name now. Do I think I'll be worth $5 billion in 20 years? Probably not. So I don't want to hear, oh, he's so lucky. Yeah, he was very fortunate, but he did a lot with it. So back to your question. For me, I went through a 2 or 3 year period of time, that transition between the Wall Street, first starting trading, having to bite my pride and my ego and go back to work. I mean, I'm all, and your listeners probably don't know this, it's something I haven't said, really shared with anybody before, but I had a nice $500,000-$600,000 home. This is going back 15 years, give or take, okay? Living the dream, right? I had to sell it. I went from a brand new car to a $4,000 used Ford Explorer, okay, to a one bedroom apartment. Why? I had a wake up call. I said, if you keep living like you've always lived, you'll keep getting what you've always got. I had that moment where I said, you need to bite the bullet now. Work your ass off as hard as you can and save every penny, okay? Because it'll be worth it in 10 years. So I had to bite my pride. I honestly came into trading thinking, I'm going to get this shit in 6 months. I wasn't like you. I didn't get it in the first year like you did. I got the charts. I just didn't have the mental capacity. So I reeled back everything. I said, if you really want this as a future, you're going to have to cut your expenses way back, way back. I mean, I had a five-figure nut at like 26 years old, 27 years old. That's nuts, okay? I mean, I don't know too many 26-year-olds that net income need to make 10 or 12 grand just to pay their basic bills, okay? With you and your wife, that's a big life, right? So I said, let's cut back, reevaluate. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be sitting here today as a successful trader, real estate investor. Now, that's a day's pay. You know what I mean? Like, that's no big deal now. But if I had never done that, if I hadn't gotten into a one-bedroom apartment where my daughter was sleeping in the closet practically, if I hadn't gotten rid of the new cars and bought a $4,000 junker, I'd never have the Ferrari today. I'd never have the Z06. I'd never have the multiple homes, Florida, Pennsylvania, Arizona. I'd never have those things.
Right.
Guys, and for those of you listening, hear me out. That was as little as 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Okay. So from 10 to 12 years to now, one bedroom apartment, three houses.
Yeah.
$4,000 Ford Explorer, Ferrari, Z06, and three other cars. Okay. Guess what? They're paid for, by the way. Oh, okay. 10 to 12 years. If you keep doing what you're doing, clocking in and clocking out, you'll be paycheck to paycheck till you're 70 years old.
Well, this is great because, you know, a lot of people probably look at your Instagram or look at your social media and then they see all the goodies, right? They see all the toys, they see the Ferraris, they see the private jet, and they would have never thought that, you know, you went through this because online, a lot of the comments that you get, oh, you're so lucky, and yeah. You're so lucky, but they forget what you went through to actually get where you are right now, right? A lot of people overlook the struggle. You know, as they say, an overnight success took 20 years to build. You know,
it's true. Yeah. And I look at my success at 10 years, 12 years is actually short. I know a lot of people, it took 20 years before they, quote, hit it or made it. And I have to say this, too. I want to give a little credit where credit is due. I got to give my wife credit because she was on board. Like, there are some wives that are like, why are you working so much or why are you doing this or that? She was totally on board. And she actually said, right. My wife is a nurse. She said, if I need to work at nighttime, even whatever you need me to do so you can, we can meet this goal. She did that. And that was only a few years. Does she regret it now? Hell no. Right. Right. Now she's home with the kids and gets to do whatever she wants. I mean, I get the $1,000 Costco bills when she goes there. You know what I mean? Like we travel well, as you've seen on Instagram, we travel nice.
Right.
She had the vision with me, the support. You need family and friends to do that, in my opinion. Otherwise, you have to be so obsessively motivated if your family is not supportive. It's really hard. They're not supportive.
That's right. So, and this is a question which I think a lot of traders have is that, you know, when you are working a job, right? So you finish your job and you get to go out for drinks, dinner, whatever with your colleagues or your friends or whoever they are. And for people who are entrepreneurs, right? They're entrepreneurs, they're traders, they may be running an online business and they're doing it all themselves at home. But no interaction from outside colleagues, bosses, supervisors. And when your work day is over, you're still by yourself. You know, there's not many people who go out with. So how don't you get bored? Like, don't you get, like I do sometimes, but like, don't you get that feeling that, you know, it would be nice sometimes to maybe have people to work with, even, you know, sure. Partners or whatever.
Yes and no. I'm going to separate the two. I'm never bored, okay, between the jobs and companies I have and then my family and three kids. I'm never bored. There are times you could say it does get lonely when you're trading or, you know, if I'm redoing a professional trading strategies course and I'm sitting in front of my desk for days at a time. Sure. But, you know, we have enough friends and family and things of that not too often. But I agree. But that typically, if that happens on malls, that's usually when I'll go to Pennsylvania or go to Florida or we go to Japan. I'll change my scenery. And I have friends in each place. But you're right. There are times where you're like, man, I mean, I've had days, and I think we all have, where I haven't literally stepped outside my house for 48 hours. And I'm like, you haven't been outside in 2 days. Who does that? Nobody does that, right? That's unusual, especially nowadays with how busy I am. But yeah, in the beginning, the first couple, 2-3 years, I was studying so much about trading, trying to be the best I could. I didn't even want the weekends to come. That's how motivated I was. I didn't want the stock market to ever close. But you're right. I would suggest to those people, get a trading buddy. Get two kinds. Get your online trading buddies. Okay, you can Skype with. And then also get some local trading buddies. You know, I know in New York City, there's a lot of trader meetups and stuff. And in a lot of big cities are. If you're in the middle of nowhere, then that's different. But it's good. It's healthy. Why? Most of your family and friends don't understand what you do. They necessarily don't approve of what you do, which I always find ironic because they're willing to dump millions, hundreds of thousands, however much money into a stock market they know nothing about, or wait for it, buy crypto that they know nothing about, And they'll do it because it got hyped up on TV, or Warren Buffett said so. And they'll literally buy a stock they know nothing about, and then they're gonna knock you for being a trader that has very specific risk parameters and has very detailed approach. So I always found that ironic, and not in a good way per se. But for those traders that are lonely, get outside, go to the gym. I know for me, my best times and best years in trading are when I'm actively at the gym. I also play a lot of tennis. I belong to a tennis league. So I do get social interaction. And I think people should too. Everybody's different. Maybe you like bowling. Maybe you like drinking with your buddies. But get out. Get out of your office. Get out of your house. I travel enough that it's not a big problem, but it was when I first started. You know.
Awesome. Great piece of advice. So, you know, to sum it all up, what's one piece of parting advice that you can give the listeners? Like, what's one thing that they should do to prepare for success?
There's a lot. I'll try to dwindle down to one or two things. One, plan. Do not do it whimsically. There, you could never go to a bank and get a loan to open up a restaurant on a napkin. They walk in, here's my business plan, it's on a napkin. They'd laugh you out of the building.
Right.
So many people do that, particularly in trading. Like, oh, I got 20 grand laying around, I want to be a trader. All right, I'll open an account. Okay, now what? That's not a good approach in any business, really. Learn as much as you can about the business, whether it's real estate, whether it's private equity, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's trading. Learn as much as you can. And if you want to be successful, really, you're going to have to do several things. You're going to have to give it time. I do not care what the business is, okay, unless you're slinging crack rock, okay? It takes years to become successful, okay? Two, you're going to have to be married to it. You're going to have to be utterly dedicated, okay? And you're going to have to be disciplined. All right, those three things. You're going to have to give it time, be dedicated, and be disciplined, meaning you set your plan in motion and you stick with the plan. I get frustrated at times talking specifically to traders that want to get rich overnight, and they're like, oh, well, you know, I did read this article online. I'm like, does that make you an expert now? You know what I mean? Most success, from my personal experience, I don't know about you. You've been, I want to say fortunate because you've worked your ass off, but you've been more fortunate than most because your success has come quicker than most. Maybe you're just that good. But the truth is, my success has taken time. And some people look at me and go, no, you did it quickly. But the point I'm trying to get at is most success from the people I hang around has taken longer than they thought it would. Most
right.
of the time, it's not quicker than you think. It's longer than you think. So if you come in and think, I'm going to be a successful trader in 1 year, give it two or three. Okay? Because why stop on something that if you truly want it, you'll never give up on it. And that's good. Those people make it. You know, as you know, we have a couple of traders in our chat room that should, on paper, have been the perfect candidate to be a trader. The perfect candidate. Like, I'd think, oh, 6 months, this guy's going to be killing it. 4 years.
Right.
One of them, as you know, in our chat room, has been trading 10 years now. Took him 3 to 4 years to get good. Now he's one of the best traders I've ever met, ever.
Right.
How many people would have given up before 3 years? A lot. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the best advice I can give you guys in any business, not just trading. Give it time. Work your tail off and be disciplined with your goals. And the discipline with your personal finances, too. Persistence truly does overcome resistance. And there is no such thing as easy money in this world. Okay. I don't care if it's the lottery, crypto, whatever. There's no such thing as easy money.
All right. So great advice there. I mean, you know, guys, whatever Jared is talking about, you know, he mentioned trading, but the same concepts are applicable if you're an entrepreneur. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, instead of having trading buddies, you have like a mastermind, you know, people to bounce ideas off, attending meetups, you know, networking events. So a lot of the advice basically ties in everywhere. Now, this question is, let's say, you know, many years from now, you know, you're 80, 90, 100 years old, many, many years from now, or you are being sent to Mars, right? So you've been put on a spaceship, you're going to go on Mars, and you're not going to see your family, your friends, anybody for 40 years, right? But you only have one piece of paper that your kids are going to see, right? One piece of paper or one audio recording that you can send to Earth, 10-second recording. What's one thing you will tell them about life or what they should do?
To my kids or to anybody in general?
Well, let's say
I might tell my kids, I love you, I'm never seeing you again. I mean, if I'm giving advice to the general population, it's got to be 10 seconds or in one sentence. It sounds cliche, but I would say do what makes you happy. Honestly, you get one life, period. Do not care what other people think about what you do or how you think. Okay, you only get one life. Be happy. If that's eating donuts on a park bench, go eat donuts on a park bench. If that's building a multi-billion-dollar business, build it, because life goes fast. And anybody I talk to that's a little bit older, 60, 80, 90 years old, they say the same thing. I can't believe how fast the last 50 years went. I wish I would have. Well, don't wish, just do it. And that's the best advice. Don't wish it. Go out and actually do it. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's absolutely worth it. You have to. Why? What's the purpose of life if you're not going to do what you love? I mean that. What's the purpose of being on this planet, on this earth, if you're not going to do what you love? I don't see any point otherwise.
Awesome. Couldn't have ended the interview in any better fashion than that piece of advice. Great stuff there. So, for those, where can people find you? Like, where should people look for you if they want to, you know, keep in touch?
They can find me in multiple places. They can find me at jared@livetraders.com. If you'd like to email me, I'll get back to you, I promise. You can find me at ScoutMaster1 on Instagram, ScoutMaster1 on Twitter, StockTwits, etc. I like to stay in touch with people, and I've said this to many folks. If I'm free and I'm available and I'm in your city, I'll have dinner with you. I just literally, a 21-year-old kid who's about to graduate college, I sat down and we had lunch at Ruth's Chris. I took him out to lunch, or I should say dinner, and he's asking me about life and finance in Wall Street. Why? He must have DM'd me on Instagram like 9 times. He was persistent. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I said, all right, let's just go out to dinner. Cool.
Awesome.
So I don't have a problem meeting up with people. I like to share knowledge with people. And that's one last bit of advice before I call this is, guys, surround yourself with not only like-minded people, surround yourself with people more successful than you. There are some folks out there that have such big egos, they want to always be the most successful person in the room. You don't. Okay. You don't. You want to be around people that are more successful. Otherwise, how do you grow and get to their level? Okay. Let them help you. Let them teach you. And that's the same way I feel about trading. It's the same way I feel about life. Surround yourself with more successful people than yourself, and you'll go up to their level in doing so.
Awesome. Appreciate it, buddy. It was nice chatting with you. Great interview. I think people will get a lot of value out of this. Just great stuff. I think a lot of stuff that they might not necessarily hear about on a day-to-day from us. So great stuff there. It's nice having you, and wish you all the best to hit your goal.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me, and you got a great thing going here. So have me back on sometime in the future again, but this was a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Definitely. Nice chatting.
Take care.
Take care.